now let me invite Elling and Fredrik to come on stage and also to open up for if there are reflections, ideas and comments from all of you. But before that, you mentioned ownership and the contradiction between ownership and effectiveness. So while taking the stage, I might pose a question. What is most important, ownership or effectiveness? And as we are, well, who are we to tell others what to do, as some of us are also breaking up from our own integration here in Europe? Anyway, let's hear the questions from the floor. Please, over there, Klaus.
I think your criticism was very good, and I liked reading it. There's one point you said, that the main problem is that this is only capacity building in the region organizations, so it should be something more. And then you talked about the new regional strategy, which is much better, and the first point is it's now outcome-oriented, not output like capacity. But if you look at the strategy, it says capacity building at regional actors for a number of very topical issues. So my question is, what do you mean by outcome-oriented for the new strategy? I can't see that.
I will bring in your questions if there are. No more hands then, Fredrik. It's yours.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I simply meant that the objectives, the sectoral objectives in the strategy are much more focused on the objectives and goals compared to, unlike the previous strategy, which was more focused on capacity building of intergovernmental organizations. So I saw that as an improvement, that they specify the sectoral objectives, like it would be human development or human rights, for instance. And that's interesting because the other regional strategies that Sweden has towards Southeast Asia, towards Latin America, Middle East, and so on, they are more like this, like the new strategy, more specifying the sectoral goals that they want to achieve, and then leaving to CEDA to try to achieve them. And I see that as an improvement to this. Something? No? No. I'm looking. It's because of the of the light.
Okay.
Can I ask the No,
yes.
Wait. No. It was. I just wanted to say that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for very thought-provoking and relevant comments. The only thing I wanted to say that I'm sorry if I've been. I know that I'm a bit harsh in the tone and the report, perhaps. But the point is not to be sloppy or trying to be overly critical against the AU and the RECs. I want, or we, our perspective is that we emphasize the need for legitimate and functional RECs. Because if they are not effective, their legitimation will be undermined and donors will draw away funding. So the importance is to get them to work better than they have been working in the past. Because there is a huge debate about whether or not they are effective. And like Harry said, DFID is walking away from the multipurpose organizations like the RECs. So there is a need for these political instruments. What I am criticizing is the fact that the Swedish previous strategy was overly centered on the AU and the RECs and the top-down mechanism. And you identify, Elling, very well that the implementation in the field is much more pluralistic. But the point is that even if there is a pluralism of implementing partners, there are the strategy is very AU and REC-centered, and they choose many of, they use the mechanism of indirect support, and the indirect support is designed in order to feed into the AU and the REX and the African integration agenda. And my discussion in the report was to unpack that hard focus on top-down regional organizations. So otherwise, I thank you very much for the comments, but I wanted to get that to clarify that was the message, and that means that there are flexible solutions working both on the regional level and working to support national implementation of regional programs.
Would you like to comment on that, Harry? How could we better make a connection between the national level and the regional level, and what kind of institutions do we need then?
Yeah, so I think one issue is what legitimacy the countries themselves give to these regional organizations. So in the case of the EAC, I think there probably is a bit more legitimacy from the countries to the EAC as a body. It's still not legitimacy to the level where the EAC can go and bang heads together and say, you countries, you must do this in order to make this regional activity work better. If you go to ECOWAS, I think you don't have that at all. So going to the ownership effectiveness question you raised a bit, what TMEA was set up to do was to reduce the time and cost it took to transmit goods across the region. The ownership of that issue doesn't really lie with the EAC as such. It's something that lies with all the countries. And so what ownership means in the regional context can be a little bit different from what it means in a national context.
Elling, I think in your report, Fredrik, you mentioned that there are competitors, a number of organizations that even compete with each other. Is that a problem as you see in Africa? Are there too many regional organizations that make up a mess rather than a clarity?
At one level, there are too many organizations in Africa, which creates problems for us. And I've stopped saying that it does create problems for us after an African scholar drew up a map of all the regional organizations in Europe and said, that's a nightmare to understand. But there is, of course, an important dimension to it. We can easily, our foreign ministries or whoever is representing us in these various organizations, we have the institutional and human resource capacity to deal with all this spaghetti bowl of regional organizations, which is often not the case in Africa. But yes, there are overlapping and there are competing organizations, and that creates problems both on the political side, for example on Mali, on African interventions in the conflict there, and it creates problems for the free trade areas and so on. But I just want to make one additional comment, which I should have made in the in my comments, and that's I think it's quite important, is that when it comes to implementation, if we can implement and support implementation at the lowest possible level, that's what we should do. And often it's about supporting implementation at the national level. If that can be done, much better than to do it higher up. That will solve some of the problems. But in the long run, ownership is far more important than short-term effectiveness.
I like the subsidiarity principle we have, at least when we discuss in Europe. Now, if you would like to intervene or interact, yes, please, over here. Raise your hand. Raise your voice.
Hi, my name is Eva Malt. I'm Area Director for Africa for Save the Children Sweden. We work to strengthen AU as well as REX on children's rights. And one question that I would like to ask Fredrik is, you were talking about the fact that one of your recommendations would be for CEDA to stop funding to dysfunctional REX. I would like to hear a little bit your analysis between the distinction of the different, I mean, they are very different if you look at ECOWAS, SADC, East African Community, perhaps also in Central Africa. if you have looked into that, please.
Fredrik?
Yes.
Yes. Challenge.
Like I said earlier, it's extremely important to have functional RECs, all kinds of states-led organizations. But in its regional portfolio, Sweden, for instance, has more than 250 interventions. So I was talking about not discontinuing funding for all of the RECs. The RECs may work very differently in different sectors. And then the question is when to withdraw and not, and how to identify when it's dysfunctional and not. So in a REC, one sector may work, whereas another sector may not. And if you then go to more smaller, lower or sectoral regional organizations, and for instance river-based SIN organizations or health organizations, then sometimes there is a reason to withdraw or freeze the funding in order to create pressure. And it seems, the evidence we have, that funding has continued too much over time, for long periods of time. And that creates a problem because there is a big discussion about resource capture and that these funding creates a logic of their own. And we are not trying to identify specific cases here. We are just putting these issues on the table and saying that these issues are discussed and they need to be discussed. So that was the idea.
Dealing with the effectiveness, of course, we have the Paris principles, and I don't see that much appearance of those principles when we discuss regional support. From your perspective as researchers and policymakers, do they impact at all on the regional support from the donor community in Europe?
Well, yes and no. They did very much so for a period, and perhaps more so in the case of SADC than the other RECs, where following up on the adoption of the Paris Declaration, they adopted a similar declaration in Southern Africa, the Windhoek Declaration, I think it was called, and various mechanisms were set up to ensure harmonization and alignment and coordination in the different sectors. Not entirely successful, and that's an understatement. And I think the biggest challenge was that SADC was in a very weak position. They were not really able to provide the direction that was required. And a lot of donors have not pulled out of SADC, but stopped providing direct fund to SADC, partly because the EU is taking care of that, and partly because in the case of Southern Africa, you have a lot of other regional institutions operating under the auspices of SADC, energy, health, you name it, where donors are putting their money, but there is very little donor coordination taking place.
Ari, any views on this?
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there are examples where there are pooled funds or partnership funds, the partnership fund to the EAC. There was a pooled fund with ECOWAS, but it's discontinued. But I don't think it's front and centre necessarily when people are thinking about their implementation.
Frederick, any take on Paris principles, impact on what donors do on regional level?
Yes. Harry and Ellinger said, I think they are receiving less attention compared to country aid. And one study we had 10 years ago in the Lake Victoria region was that the regional programs were so complex that they required internal coherence within a particular donor, meaning that it was very difficult for them to coordinate both with recipients and with other donors. So, yeah. So I think that this principle can receive more attention. It seems to be improving, like I said in my presentation. There is some improvement of donor coordination, and that seems to be good. But that the issues can receive even more attention.
Good. Now I give you one word each, final. I posed a question 20 minutes ago. What is most important, ownership or effectiveness? Elling, you have to choose.
Ownership is most important.
Harry?
In regional economic issues, effectiveness is most important.
One man. And now, the verdict by Frederick.
Oh, ownership, but...
Okay. But... ownership, but... That is a cliffhanger, because next session at 3:30 we will have aid effectiveness and all those Paris principles discussed again. But we have covered a lot of ground in this session, I guess. I think, Harry, you mentioned that the challenges nowadays are, to a large extent, transboundary. We haven't discussed that much, but we have peace building, conflict prevention, environment issues, infrastructure as such. We have a changing landscape. What used to be state-owned things around 20, 50 years or 30 years ago might be privately run nowadays, like airlines, infrastructure, investments, etc. And we have new... We haven't even mentioned China in this. We will mention China next, half an hour from now. But China, there are new actors on the scene as well, foundations. It's not only us, the traditional donors, also impacting what is happening on the African ground, at least when it comes to funding. So that is for sure. To link, I think you have mentioned quite a number of times, Frederick, to link the national and the regional levels, and also to build it from the ownership part from national governments, or be they other actors, to get other actors, non-state actors, also into the picture. In the report, reassess regional organizations. I think you can learn a lot what our societies, how we have developed, and often our institutions have not been up front before an issue has been appeared, but while an issue appeared, you can build it gradually. I think that's also a lesson learned from our own history, how you build institutions and capacity. We haven't even discussed rule of culture, language, etc., which I think also will impact how you can set up or also develop and also implement on the regional scene. And finally, on this ownership and effectiveness issue, yes, that will be discussed half an hour from now. Now we take an intermission, 30-minute break, and then be back in this room to discuss the overall panel of the day. 20 minutes? Ah, good. We have more time for discussion. So 20 minutes at 3:30. And please, join me in a big hand for this terrific...